Take that also to the river and throw it in that river. And the congregation cried out, "Amen. Hallelujah." Then the preacher sat down. At that time, the church's music director stood up and announced, "For our closing song, let us sing hymn number 365, Shall We Gather at the River?" I'm sorry. No doubt some of us today, we were laughing, and no doubt some of the members really liked the prospect of getting down to that river, while some others probably didn't. At any rate, today's lesson is about happiness, but in truth, I think we all know that there's much more to happiness than just meets the eye. Very much more. Webster defines happiness as a state of well-being and contentment and joy, a pleasurable or satisfying experience. But is this really happiness? Is it everlasting? And from whence does true and everlasting happiness come? Today, as you sit here in this church, each of you, ask yourself this question: Am I happy? Am I really happy? Am I content? Joyful most of the time? Do I feel at peace? In this material world of ours, are you happy with your life? Are you happy with your family? Are you happy with your mate? And are you happy about your job and the salary it pays? What are you happy about? Moreover, is your sense of happiness lasting, steady, and dependable? Do you wake up every morning and go to bed every night with a sense of happiness and fulfillment? With a sense of completeness? With a sense of joy? Do you? Think about it. What do you want more than anything else out here in the world? What is it you really want? Is it a particular object? That perfect relationship? Those millions of dollars? Is it a lofty human achievement? Is it notoriety in the business or political world? Do you seek those things that feed the ego? Outward things such as fame, recognition, fortune, so-called respect, admiration, power, and so on and so forth. It's endless. And if so, once obtained, shall these things result in a sense of everlasting happiness? Shall they result in a lifetime of joy and wholeness and a feeling of completeness and blissful peace? Think about it. Do the names Kate Spade or Anthony Bourdain sound familiar? When hearing of the passing of these personalities by their own hands, many people are simply stupefied. People want to know, why? Why did they do this? They were rich and famous. Why would they do such a thing? After all, they had everything. They had money, cars, big homes, boats, and more. They had everything. But did they really have everything? Did they really have everything? And did these things bring about a sense of fullness and contentment? Clearly not the case. Or was something missing? A something that removes all sense of lack and erases all sense of despair, all sense of emptiness, and all sense of need. Folks, we should not be searching for effect out here in the world, something called happiness out here, but rather, we should be seeking and working with the source good, which is God and God in action. Every byway and highway has some brand of happiness out here in the world. Take a look at the TV commercials. You have to buy this, you have to buy that to be happy. But happiness cannot be paid for by money. It is found through spirituality, through truth in who and what you are. Consider Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, who brings good news of happiness. I wouldn't have minded if you had Onward Christian Soldiers on there. Don't worry about it, Alvaro. And let's listen to Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things shall be added unto you. Does that verse say, and some of these things shall be added unto you? A couple of these things shall be added unto you? Maybe this or that shall be added unto you? No, it says, and all these things shall be added unto you, which include happiness. I'm pretty sure that most, if not all of you, through your own life experience in this world, have come to the conclusion that the source of real happiness, abundant joy, and peace, and contentment are not of this world. We have learned through our study of divine science that we are already full and complete in the truth of our being as children of God. We are also reminded through Scripture as to who we are and what is it at hand for those that realize and live in truth. But it is written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Within each of us, there is a law in operation, whether we realize it or not. It is the law of life. And it is our awareness of the presence of this law that assures each of us all good, including joy and happiness, and so much more. All the things necessary for our daily living are the effects of the consciousness of the activity of the law within each of us. It is our individual understanding of God, the law, that enables us to take our thoughts off of those things of this outer world and abide in the consciousness of the law, or the Lord. Have it as you may. What is the law which provides our fullness, our completeness, our abundance, our health and happiness? This law is the universal and divine consciousness, which is also our own consciousness that is this law. This being so, our individual consciousness becomes the law of everything out here in this world that comes onto us, producing its own image and likeness in the form of those things necessary to our well-being. We create our own reality out here, folks. What we think, on and feeling. We say again, as within, so without. The law of expression at work. For those of us that have taken the basic course or have read the basic principle book on divine science, we know what that law of expression is. We create it. Man thinks in secret and it comes to pass. His environment is but his looking glass. Don't complain about what's out here in front of you, because you made it. Divine or universal consciousness, our individual consciousness, is spiritual. It is not of this world, and it does not have anything to do with our emotional ups and downs, our sense of lack, or our limited sense of happiness. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Colossians 3:2. Since the activity of law within us is purely spiritual, our supply in all of its forms is spiritual, infinite, and ever-present. What we behold as effects or things out here in the world as money, food, clothing, cars, homes, represent our concepts of those ideas. And our concepts are as infinite as our minds. Now, although we can enjoy the things of the outer realm, the fruits of our labor, we must remember one thing, that these things are effect. They are not cause. They are not the source of our supply, our source of happiness or wholeness. Rather, it is our consciousness and our conscious awareness of the presence and the activity of the law of God that is our consciousness of supply. And the outer things are but the forms of our consciousness expressing. The inner sense of well-being, the strength and grace and supply, appears in necessary outer things in our lives. Folks, it is so important that we do not see effect, things out here that appear as real, as cause, because only God is cause. True happiness and contentment are available this very moment to each of you, because it is within you. It is within me. It is within every person that ever was and shall ever be. It is a happiness that is certain and everlasting. When we understand that the infinite goodness of life is here now, we in the midst of it, and it in the midst of us, we shall know how to let this great truth possess us, bringing realization of harmony and joy to ourselves and to others about us. But first, folks, something has to happen. We're talking about this today in our basic course with Hernan and Elvira. And that something is realization. Realization makes it so. Take, for instance, a Bedouin, an Arab that lives in the desert. If this Arab discovered a spring of water within his tent, water in abundance would always be available to him, and he would never have to look outside of his tent. Likewise, when you are turned toward the outside, thinking that your happiness lies outside of you, but you finally turn inward, you discover that the very source of completeness and happiness have always been within you. You realize that the source is God and your relation to God. True and enduring happiness comes through this realization that we are one with a source that is happiness, that is joy, that is abundance, that is freedom. And that is God in all. Hallelujah. We come to know real completeness. We come to know full contentment. And we are at peace. Why? Because we are home at last. Like the prodigal son, we have returned to the Father's house. Think about it. Think about when you go on long vacations and you're away from your home for a long time and you're having a good time, but then you get back home. You get back to the familiar. You get back into your own bed. But what do you say? Ah, I'm home. The same with the Father. We are one with the Father. We are home. We are at peace. Once realization is at hand, we stop seeking acceptance from others out here in the world. We stop saying yes to people when we should be saying politely no. We stop trying to look good at the expense of others. We stop thinking that money and people and places and things shall make us complete. This past week, while working on this lesson, I came across a saying that reads, "There are people so poor that all they have is money." Do you get that? There are people so poor that all they have is money. Of course, depending upon where we are in consciousness, we do or do not get the gist of the saying. But I'd like to think all of us understand it. In truth, God and His grace are sufficient unto us. Our happiness and more, our natural state of being, is as children of the Most High. What God is, you are. And all of the goodness of God is yours now. All of the characteristics and inherencies of God are yours now. And once again, folks, realization makes it so. Happiness is not an outer achievement, by the way, or a destination at the end of the road, or something to be experienced near to the end of our lives out here in this temporary world of effect. Rather, it is an inner potential just waiting to experience, to be experienced and expressed. It is calling for us now. It is at hand now. It is nearer than breathing and hands and feet. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. 1 Corinthians 2:12. It is important to note, folks, if we really get this message, if we really understand who and what we are, it is important to note that happiness and joy are not things we should try to get out of our relationships or our work. They are things that we should be putting in to our relationships and to our work and to all of our daily activities. By going within, we stir up our inner light and let it shine, and it shall go before us, making all of the crooked places straight. You want happiness, folks? Don't go looking for it out here in the world, as it is fleeting and temporary. By placing your happiness and sense of peace in the hands of someone or something, a relationship, a new job, more money, you are guaranteed frustration, sorrow, and a sense of lack, as relationships and jobs all come to an end. And money shall over time, ring hollow to your soul. I think we remember Scrooge. Jesus was very clear when he said that the kingdom of heaven is within. And it is within where wholeness and perfection reside. Let us start every morning resolving to let that kingdom live us and come through us. Folks, we have to get out of the way. We have to get out of the way. And as Paul tells us, we must die daily. Die to ego and all of its earthly trappings out here. You know, a lot of people told me as I was a businessman, you know, money is the root of all evil. But folks, the Bible doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of anything other than our Father is the root of all evil. Within every person ever created lies a secret place of the Most High. And it is from this secret and sacred place that prayer is answered, that goodness is experienced, that joy and love come forth from us out into this world. Seek God first and foremost, and all goodness shall be added unto you. Contentment and fullness, peace, happiness, joy, all of these things are yours. They are yours because they are the very nature of your being as individualized expressions of God. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. John 15:11. So, my friends, what is it you're looking for out here? And shall you continue to seek happiness and fullness through things and people and places out here in this world of flesh? I hope not. As our singular purpose is to know God. And it is through this knowing and practicing the presence that all good comes. Let us continually affirm our spiritual heritage through prayer and meditation. Let us bask in that realization that all there is God, and that all things that ever were and shall be are of Him. Let us commit ourselves today to practicing His presence in all we do and say. When we really go about living and moving in His being, we can be assured of God's grace in all ways. This is the science in divine science. It's that simple. Let us not be like the rich young man that came to Jesus and asked if he could follow him. Oh, he wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to live in that light. He wanted a part of that action. Of course, Jesus welcomed him. He said, certainly, join me. But he explained to him that he would have to leave behind all of his riches and walk with Jesus in faith. Well, as we know, that was just too much for the rich young man. And he walked away from Christ, extremely sad that he could not make that leap of faith. He just couldn't do it. The love of money and possessions gripped his soul. What is it, folks, in our own lives that has a hold on us? What is the anchor of the flesh that keeps our spiritual ship from sailing? What is it? I think we all know individually. Prove me now, saith the Lord. Prove me now. Turn to me and know that all is good and very good, and that you are made in my image and likeness. And you want for nothing. All that I have is yours. Folks, as the lyrics of the song go, don't worry, be happy. But be happy in God and in the realization that you are blessed and whole this very minute and forevermore. Shall we make this lesson practical today and into the future? Will you join me now in our closing meditation and let this lesson into your consciousness? Please close your eyes and assume a listening attitude. Sit comfortable in your seats. Be still. Know that I of myself can do nothing. But he in the midst of thee is greater than anything that can ever come to me and to us out here in the world. He is saying, take time for me. Turn to me. Out here in the world there shall always be trials and tribulations. But my kingdom is not of this world. Call and I will answer. I am closer than breathing in hands and feet. I am your supply in abundance. I am your joy. I am the health of your body and the peace of your mind. I am your eternal life. I am with you always. Be still and know that I am God. For the awareness of your loving presence that is here and now, in all of its glory, in all of its power, O most loving God, I give you thanks. Amen. The Lord blesses thee and keeps thee. The Lord shines his love upon thee and is gracious unto thee. He lifts thy consciousness and gives thee peace. Amen.